change in terms of its economy, you know, as you say, from economy and how it's diversified. And 90% of its income now other than agricultural. But what do you see happening in the next 10 years in terms of...
I can see more urbanization. I can also see more industrial progress. And I think that from the standpoint of just economic development, I think that Mississippi is just now beginning to move, and I think we're going to accelerate as years go by for the next 10 to 15 years. I think Mississippi will be booming.
Do you see it?
We have everything. We have the area. In other words, we have land available. We have all of the natural resources. We have the weather. We have the water. We have both water and land and air transportation available. We have seaports. We have about everything. I don't think, and so much of the state is undeveloped at this point by comparison with other areas in the country, that it's a fertile field for development, and I think that the world's going to be the path to our door.
Do you see the old Delta versus Hills conflict still alive?
It's still alive to some extent, but not as intense as it once was.
Has reapportionment done more than any other single thing to reduce the delta, strengthen the legislature?
Possibly. However, the delta, even before reapportionment, their strength was on the wane. Well, of course, there's another thing, the advent of the automobile, a good system of highways, a good system of communications, interchange of trade between the Delta and other areas of the state has seemed to have solidified our state. In other words, it's done away a lot with a lot of these old divisions, geographical divisions, or what am I trying to say, the provincialism.
What has television done to that, to the state's politics, to campaigning and so on?
It's increased the cost of it about 10 times. But I think that it has made it possible for candidates to present their views to more people, and I think we have a more enlightened voter than we formerly had.
Pretty optimistic about the state's future?
Indeed. Excuse me.
Anything else you wanted to add?
Think just a minute.
What do you think is the greatest misconception about Mississippi politics that exists both within and without the state?
The relationship and attitudes of the whites and the blacks in our state. It's misunderstood, misconstrued, and I mean the great majority now. We have activists, of course, among the blacks, and we have, I suppose we still have a few of the Ku Klux sympathizers, whether we have a Ku Klux or not. But they are in a small minority, and I think the attitudes of the great majority of our white and black people with respect to each other has been badly distorted in its projection to the other parts of the country.
Do you see that changing?
You mean the attitudes? Mm-hmm. No. I think it's wholesome. I think we have a very wholesome attitude at this point between the whites and the blacks.
No, I mean the attitude outside the state.
I think it's changed considerably in the last 5 or 6 years, or the last 10 years. In 1965, over 100 members of Congress voted purely on the basis of prejudice against the state of Mississippi to refuse Mississippi any representation whatsoever in the United States House of Representatives. I don't believe that would get 10 votes today. And it was based purely and solely and exclusively on the media vendetta that had been directed toward the state of Mississippi and had built up ever since 1954. Today that seems to have abated concern, that feeling. Although I realize that persons of other sexes still have preconceived ideas about Mississippi, but I think now that the busing has created similar problems in their areas and the shoe is beginning to pinch other feet, I think they're beginning to sympathize with us considerably with the problems that we have had down there and have had to overcome and have overcome.
Some people say that now that that problem has been not overcome, but at least submerged, that there'll be a lot more social and economic progress, a lot more consideration of some of the fundamental issues that face the state in the future. Is that...
That problem has been submerged?
That there's no longer an obsession.
Was going to support conservatives. And our people, by and large, are fundamentalists. We are political fundamentalists. We don't feel that the courts under our American system have the right to create law, only to interpret law. We don't think that the president, the executive branch, has the right to create law in the absence of legislation or action by the government. We feel that the states, in the beginning were the states. The federal government was a creature of the states. And that the states surrendered certain of their powers in order to provide for a common defense and a system of communications and highways and so forth. And that they surrendered only the powers which were granted to the federal government in the Constitution. We regard the Constitution as being a document of limitation. Because indeed, if it were not a document of limitation, there would be no need to have a written Constitution. If that Constitution is going to be ignored, or if it's going to be perverted or changed through a series of judicial interpretations, we still believe in the common law doctrine of stare decisis, and feel that, well, we go back, I think, perhaps our, and I'm not giving you a political lecture now, I'm just speaking philosophically. Go back to Washington's farewell address, which I think pretty well outlined the South's attitude in this matter and its philosophy at the present time. Which he said, if the Constitution was wrong in any, and said in so many words, if the Constitution be wrong in any respect, let it be corrected in the manner provided therein, which as you and I know is by the people, by act of the people or the legislature. And he went further to say, he said, let there be no usurpation. Though this in one instance might serve a temporary good, it's a usual means by which free governments are destroyed. Now you go back and get that quotation, and I think you'll find the basic philosophy of the Southern people with respect to our constitutional system. And we have seen that Constitution usurped. We've seen them bypass constitutional limitations in order to accomplish temporary purposes, without receiving the permission of the people to change the Constitution. Now, you didn't hear us complain at all. A number of our people were very much opposed to the 18-year-old vote, but they proceeded about that in the right manner. They went ahead and got a constitutional amendment to take care of it. So now we don't complain. We don't hear anything about it in the South. We accept it. Had had the black and white situation been submitted by a constitutional amendment and enacted by the requisite number of states or approved by the requisite number of states, there would have been no complaint in the South. The social aspect of it, of course, was a cover-up as a means to commit an unconstitutional act to further encroach on and erode the constitutionally guaranteed, of course they couldn't guarantee them, but the reserve powers of the several states.
How do you think the people of this state see the whole Watergate thing and the impeachment?
Well, I think this is thoroughly discussed with the whole mess that they just like to just not hear it anymore. Our people, as of yet, no specific crime has been charged against the president. And our people still believe that a person is innocent until he's found guilty. We don't think that they've even substantiated a charge against an impeachable charge against the president.
Do you see that issue as affecting the state's politics in any ways?
Not in the least.
Do you see it having any effect on politics in general and politicians?
Well, I think it would have to go throughout the country. In other areas where you have strong political party organizations and so forth, I don't think there's any question but that it'll have an effect there. But the effect in Mississippi would be minimal. Indeed, if any.
You miss serving in public office?
No. Imagine carrying a bale of cotton around for about 25 to 6, 7 years on your back, never being able to get up in the morning without that bale of cotton on your back and having to take it everywhere you go, and then finally get rid of it after about 27 or 8 years, you can understand how I feel.
No regrets, huh?
No.
Do it all over again?
I probably wouldn't, and I don't know. Now, you have to put it in context for that. I don't know. I went to Washington when I was 27 years old as a congressman, and my whole life has been politics. And under different circumstances and in a different day, I might do differently. I don't know. I just don't know.
What I was asking, do you think it was worth it?
Well, yes and no. It's a lot of heartaches and a lot of feelings of accomplishment, a lot of satisfactions, and a lot of frustrations, and then great feelings of, as I say, great feelings of accomplishment. And I'm very happy with it. I think every man who has given his life to public service encounters the same emotions and the same feelings at one time or another. I would like to think that I've left a better country behind than I found, and I hope that I have. I know I left a better state behind than I took over as when I took over as governor. I know that I've left some marks there to the credit of our administration, and to that extent, I'm very happy that I was able to do so, that I was able to serve as governor.
I'm not being impertinent.
I understand.
End interview. John Bell Williams. No more transcription. This tape.